Hello.
Hello, this is Valerie. And are we online here? Is this Pamela?
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes, very nicely, Pamela. I was actually on the desktop first, but anyway, here we are, and I'm so happy to have you here, and you can hear me all right, huh?
I can hear you very well, yes,
All right.
Valerie.
Yes, I like this service a lot. This is a lot better than what I had. Anyway, I wanted to welcome you today. So happy to have you here finally. And I was going over some of the notes. I first of all wanted to welcome you here and let people know that you are a psychologist with special training. And your special training is in a very interesting field of emotional counseling techniques. Now, I myself am a psychologist, so I know that this is what's very much needed today, these emotional counseling techniques that you are an expert in. And you have an MS in psychology with special training. And also, you have the Beamer, you're a Beamer distributor, which I'm very fascinated with that whole technology. My background's in biofeedback and stress management, so I love any kind of medical technologies. But I wanted to just welcome you here today. So very happy to have you here. And I wanted you to just give us an overview, if you wouldn't mind to, of what is emotional empowerment? How does your system work, Pamela?
Yes, hi Valerie. It's a pleasure to be here and have this conversation with you. So emotional empowerment is really my main tool, not only personally but also professionally. So basically, what it is the ability to remain aware of who you are, regardless of those emotions that arise, and use those negative feelings to effectively navigate your circumstances while at the same time, while remaining true to yourself, which is super important. And what I particularly love about emotional empowerment, that's what drew me at first. And also, after I saw how great it was in my personal life and the shifts I was able to make, is that it's much more about transforming rather than coping or managing. Because for me personally, coping and managing is better than not coping and managing. But if there is something that you can do that's kind of a deeper shift, so you don't even have to cope or manage because the issue is actually resolved, that's what I actually prefer. And if there is a way to do that, sign me up, because I'm not no longer okay with just managing and coping in my personal life either.
Right, I understand.
So I feel like again, it's coping and managing is definitely better than none of it. But if there is something even better, that it's almost like even like a step before you even have to get to coping and managing, if you can take care of that part so you don't have to deal with thinking about coping or managing altogether, in different types of occasions or challenges, I find it personally so much better. And that's why I'm so passionate with sharing it with others as well, because it gives everybody a different perspective around those unpleasant emotions, those negative emotions that we,
Right, there's a
tend to
lot of
get
them
wanna
today.
yeah, exactly, get rid of, or we, stuff them down, we ignore them, and all of these things are definitely not helpful. And they're actually causing more issues than anything else. So I think it's just giving a different perspective and something that everybody can apply on their own. Then that's the beauty about it too. It's not just with me all the time. So it's
Right.
about, when you know how to do it, then you can do it on your own. And that's the beauty. You don't always need a professional to be able to achieve that. Once you know what it is and how to use it in your personal life.
Well, also how would a person know? I mean, you go along in life every day and you some people aren't even aware that they need attention to their well-being, as you put emotional well-being. So how would they know if they had to address this emotional well-being issue?
Yeah, so let me start with the less obvious ones, because sometimes, you know, I feel like some are like, okay, yeah, this makes sense, right? So let me start with the ones that are less obvious that people might not think as, you know, maybe that they need some attention in their emotional well-being when they experience things like people pleasing, for example. That's a big one. Perfectionism. Even just, you know, feeling maybe the high achiever is a pretty common one as well. The high achiever, especially the one that doesn't feel really happy, even though they have accomplished pretty much everything they, you know, they had in their books or in their mind, mm-hmm. but they still don't feel very happy about it. So that's definitely another situation to start thinking about emotional well-being and just paying attention to what's really going on behind the scenes. Then some more like more obvious one, it's, you know, the chronic stress, the overwhelm, the mm-hmm. emotional eating, or maybe other addictive behaviors. And then some of the specific negative feelings like anxiety, guilt, anger, frustration, sadness, mm-hmm. Lack of self-care overall, just taking care of everybody else or just following mm-hmm. meticulously the to-do list, but just neglecting yourself in the process. So those are kind of very common ones, yes, as well. And maybe some people have tried different things too and different tools, or maybe work with other practitioners or medical professionals, and they still feel like there's something missing. You know, there's something that has not quite resolved yet. And, you know, those are also mm-hmm. people that may need or may take advantage of another approach completely that can help and maybe kind of fill the gaps where something is still missing.
Right. Well, you know, you mentioned also that a great deal of what we experience, and all psychologists are aware of this, that so much of what we do is driven by on a subconscious level. Okay. I believe what your website, you have a great website, by the way, and people should go there. And it's your name. It's your beautiful name, which is Pamela Biaska. I love it. And Osada. So your website is PamelaBiascaOsada.com, and look at your website too, because you have a lot of information there. And this whole idea, of the subconscious. I mean, that's the area that I am most fascinated with. And a good friend of mine, Bruce Lipton, has made a statement that perception is your, the perception is everything. It can shape your reality. It's like thoughts or things. Well, perception is where we are to know where we are from a point of view of what's in our subconscious mind. And, you know, it also has the perception. Your perception has the ability to change and rewrite your body chemistry. So it's all interrelated. You know, the body, mind, and spirit are all interrelated. And, thoughts are things. And one of the things that you had mentioned, which was fascinating to me, was that there are 432 emotional reactions every day. Could you elaborate on that?
Yes. Yeah. So I think, you know, sometimes we just, you know, we are not even really conscious of all this, you know, this variety and, you know, huge amount of emotions we're experiencing, you know. Otherwise, if we would, that would be really terrible.
Yeah,
I think
you're right.
If you're aware of every single one, but it's just a constant, it's something, as long as you are awake, it's really a constant that's happening. Mm-hmm. And I think even though there are so many emotions present, and again, you know, more often than not, we are not aware of all of them. But it is interesting how most people are not taking the time to just look into their feelings or just pausing for a few seconds or a few minutes and just checking in with themselves and see, how am I doing right now? How am I feeling? And that's always fascinating because, I mean, I was one of them too. I was not really aware of my feelings for the longest time. Mm-hmm. And, you know, unless they're pretty predominant, you know, you start crying, you know, those are like, the more mm-hmm. or you're angry, but there is a lot of emotions, like including sadness or anger, that doesn't really show up that way, but you still are sad and you still are angry if you're not like yelling at people.
Right.
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 And so it's just being aware of all, you know, those are just a couple of examples, but being aware that more often than not, we are experiencing some emotions that don't show up the way you might think they usually show up, because sometimes they do it that way, but you're still feeling those. You're mm-hmm. still dealing with those and you are not even aware of it. And it may show up sideways, you know, in some, mm-hmm. in another way that you might not do the, you know, put the two together, and see that it's actually a pattern. There's actually a connection there. And so I love, because I feel like sometimes I'm a detective, and my, my practice is really focused just on a coaching, environment. So it's really about, helping my clients to tap into their own resources, because they might not have known or heard about emotional empowerment, but when I ask the right questions, they will come, you know, they will get it on their own. And so that's the beauty about it. It's everybody has access to this and to, mm-hmm. you know, those resources within themselves. Mm-hmm. It's just, my job is really helping them to get them to the surface so they actually are aware of them and know what to do with it.
Absolutely. Actually, what you do is you bring about clarity. In other words, when people come to a counselor, they're looking to get their thoughts, and many times, you know, the clarity of their thoughts. Some people don't even know what they're thinking. They're coasting through life. You know, they're on automatic pilot, and that's because I think a lot of times it's because they can't deal with all of the emotional reactions, those 432 emotional reactions every day. Everybody's built differently. And once again, it's, and perception to me, that's was my big area of interest when I was in school, was I loved the idea of perception. And I read that little book, Thoughts Are Things, and it changed my whole course of my life, because it's real and it's even biblical, you know, that mm-hmm. thoughts are things, and they will influence your surroundings. And a lot of people even think that we create our own reality with our thoughts. What are your thoughts on that?
You know, I think I'm a big believer, like you mentioned too earlier, right? That, you know, our body, mind, and spirit are connected. So I feel like there's definitely the same connection between our thoughts, feelings, and behaviors. Mm-hmm. So all of this is affecting each other. And so I think, you know, no matter where you start, you know, if you start with your thoughts or with your behaviors or with your feelings, you know, they're all interconnected and do affect each other, no matter which way you're starting. Mm-hmm. And that's actually very interesting. I mean, it's really fascinating. Mm-hmm. Especially once you learn and realize and notice those connections, especially in your personal life, mm-hmm. then it becomes so many things become so much clearer, and there's so much you can do then about it to avoid, you know, to get stressed about maybe something that you usually would get stressed about. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's so many things that you can do to make changes and attract more of what serves you, or do more what serves you. And let go of the things that are not serving you. You know, so you feel better overall, both physically, mentally, and emotionally.
Yeah, so we have to examine all three, because they're intertwined for sure. It's easy. What about if somebody, let's assume what do your clients have in common? Is there any common denominator that your clients have?
Yeah, most of them, again, not everybody, but a lot of them, and the majority, I would say, are really those high achievers that are mm-hmm. very ambitious, have achieved a lot of different things, but deep down they're unhappy and they're very stressed and overwhelmed. They really, really don't take time for self-care at all. Mm-hmm. And it's very draining, and they just kind of feel like they feel it's something is missing, but they cannot put a finger on it.
Yeah, that's it. I've been there.
And then it shows up, you know, with eating emotionally, or just, you know, feeling, you know, anxious, feeling frustrated, like feeling like everybody wants something from you. You know, they're just going from one thing to the next. And often they're also people pleasers. And so, you know, they just jump from one thing to the next. Everybody needs help. They're just going to all this in different directions. So those are, I would say, the main components. And they are just, you know, everything kind of is under the umbrella stress and overwhelm, but there are so many different facets around it. And they really know that they feel at some point, I mean, they can, there's so much, so long that you can go with like this, right? At some point, you know, it will, you will notice something needs to change. And that's where I usually see them at that point.
Yeah.
Or they're about right before where they realize I have to do something because otherwise they have this awareness. I have to do something about this because it's not going well. And I don't like it anymore. Like there must be something else I can do. So that's where they usually are.
What are your thoughts on, you know, some of my studies have pointed out, as yours, I'm sure, that most unconscious, subconscious occurrences are already implemented by the age of 10. In other words, our character and our unconscious thoughts are really accumulated up to and through the age of 10. Also, they're finding out more and more that babies in the womb are also very responsive to music, to their mother's voice. So babies are actually learning in the womb. And then the first 7 years of life, they're running on a theta brainwave activity, which is really a state of almost they're absorbing knowledge without any sensors there to apply, so that a lot of these unconscious and subconscious problems arise through trauma, through early age, or however, you know, different elements that bring a child up. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, no, I agree. It definitely starts pretty early, and you know, and often it's not even necessarily, you know, a traumatic experience.
Right.
It can be the teacher that made a comment about your test, maybe in front of the whole classroom, you know, like it put you kind of on the spot in a negative way. And if you are like an emotionally sensitive person and at the time a child, those are things that can affect the rest of your life. So again, it doesn't have to be in a very traumatic experience. Mm-hmm. It can be as simple as this one comment from either a family member or a teacher. I know for me, the teacher was, that's why I bring up, because that's personal.
Yeah.
You know, that was it. You know, personally, that comment, you know, in elementary school, which, you know, that's the thing too, that I remember to this day exactly the situation. So those are things that are just stay with you. And, you know, some children, like, you know, if it happens something in the similar into your adult life, you know, they just brush it off. But some people like myself, I just took it very personally, internalized it to the point that eventually my confidence was not as good anymore.
Yeah.
And it was already probably just not very high in the first place. And then I think that was kind of, you know, the end of it. And, you know, and it happened a few more times, you know, to my, like, you know, middle school or high school. Mm-hmm. And it kind of almost like, you know, you're just already like used to, you know, you feel like this is what it is. And then you're maybe not as smart as everybody else. And even though you are, you know, not bad in school, like it was not like my situation either. But on the other hand, it's like you're still just questioning yourself and you're not trusting yourself anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, you're being more like the person in the background, and it really shows up everywhere too, which I had no idea at the time, but it's amazing how just, you know, 10 seconds in your childhood can make, you know,
that's
can shape everything. And I'm very, very aware of that. And you see that all the time, every, you know, even with my clients, but you see that, you know, with friends and family, like everybody has had some experience where it has shaped them. And I work a lot with emotionally sensitive people, which is, you know, it just happens also organically. Probably we are just attracting each other because I'm one of them too.
Mm-hmm.
And it's amazing how we have experienced very similar things growing up. And again, the majority was not based on trauma or like major challenges at all. But yeah, those little things have been the catalyst for making kind of those shifts in a kind of unhealthy patterns or unhealthy path overall. Yeah.
Okay. If a person walks into your office or does a remote with you, what are some of the suggestions? I mean, do you give meditation? What are some of the suggestions or things that you would implement with a patient or client that would come
client,
to you?
Client, yes.
Client, yes, sorry.
So it really depends. So maybe I give you like a preface on this one, because since I'm coaching, I really want to start what they're already doing with, you know, so mm-hmm. before I'm just giving tons of suggestions, right? So it's really individually different. So, but I always want to know, and asking them what you already do, or maybe you have done in the past, or, you know, you have tried out maybe once and it has given you some benefits, you notice a positive difference. And usually we start from there. Now, I'm a big believer in meditation, especially also guided meditations, because I think those are easier to get started if you're just, you know, sometimes there is this kind of, you know, for people who have never done meditation, I'm relatively new too, maybe like 8 years or so that mm-hmm. ago that I started guided meditation. So I'm not like, you know, somebody that has used them forever. I really pretty much didn't have much of a clue what they actually were mm-hmm. until 8 or 9 years ago. But it's something that I do have like in my toolbox as one of the things that are like almost like a something that they can do on their own. There's so many tools online that you can, you know, get sure. those things. You don't have pay. I mean, it's free and they're very short and it's long one. I mean, there is everything around guided meditation out there right now online, anywhere, all these different apps too. I mean, there is tons of stuff, mm-hmm. but I think it's just to start getting more. And the purpose is really, if they're not already familiar with it, or maybe have tried it already, it's really getting them familiar to be able to build more awareness around how they're actually feeling. Because I find with the meditation is probably the easier entryway to be able to just pause and check in. Mm-hmm. Now it's not as easy as it sounds, but it's still the better or the easier entryway to just, because usually they're just running around all the time. So at least a guided meditation, you know, kind of forces you in some way to just pause if you're doing it right. You're committed to doing it even just for a few minutes. And so that's usually one of my favorite, because again, it's specifically for that purpose, because it allows you to really start checking in and take some time around those feelings. Like even just a lot of people say, I'm stressed, right? I'm busy, I'm stressed, and I don't have any time. Right. But even the word stress is really like, it could be any other emotions that actually makes it feel like you are stressed, but it could be that you are worried or you are anxious or, you know, there's a variety of emotions that are actually happening, but you're never really defining them. You're just saying, oh, I'm just calling everything stress, but I don't really know what I'm feeling.
That's a good point. Yeah, that's a very good point.
So it's like being more specific.
The American Medical Association said many years ago, when I was doing biofeedback and stress management, that 80 to 90% of all disease is related to stress. So everything, every kind of feeling that we're having is creating a physiological reaction in our body and mind, and our thoughts are controlling a lot of what's going on physiologically as well. So stress is at the bottom of a lot of things. Even though we're just calling it stress, you're right, it may be manifesting as anxiety or overeating, but it's all stress related. Yeah, that's right. Because we're not comfortable in our own bodies today.
Yeah, exactly. And then, you know, if you're just calling everything I'm stressed or I'm stressed out, you're never really paying attention to what actually is going on, because you're not really you don't even know if you're maybe sad, if you're anxious, like, you know, it's like, it's because you're never really take the time to really pinpoint what exactly am I feeling right now? Am I frustrated? You know, what is it exactly? Mm-hmm. Or maybe it's a combination of different feelings, which, you know, it's often the case too, but it's just easy to say, oh, I'm stressed and just leave it at that.
Yeah.
You know, easy but way that, this is not, it's really not helping because you don't know how, I mean, it's hard to fix something, change something if you don't know exactly the root cause of it or which feelings or feeling you're actually experiencing that is one of those unpleasant one or unhelpful ones.
Yeah, I like that whole approach because it's what it does is you say, oh, I'm just stressed out. You're really, what you're doing is you're running away from what is at the bottom of that stress. In other words, what is it about yourself, your perception, what's it, your environment, your circumstances that is creating the stress? The stress isn't the stress is the end point, but what was it that mm-hmm. got you there? So I see, I like the way you're that approach. It's really quite appropriate, actually. And some of your people that I was reading about, what they experience with you is expanded joy, weight loss, increased self-love. All of these are very important facts. And these are some of the things that are creating the unhappiness in us. And, you know, the self-love thing is a big issue today. It seems like so many people out there don't love themselves or they hate themselves. And we have to really find out why. What is at the bottom? So if you don't have self-love, it's going to manifest as stress and you're not going to even know where that stress comes from. Does it come from self-hate, the lack of self-love? You know, where is it? I mean, where lack of confidence, you know, a whole lot of other issues beneath that stress. And that's what you explore, right?
Yes, exactly. Yes, because you know, sometimes people go, you know, when, you know, somebody would ask him, you know, why you feel stressed, why are you stressed, which is a pretty common question. But, you know, often the people go into the triggers, what actually triggers it, but it's not really the root cause, but they're like, oh, because, you know, my job sucks or, you know, I have issues in my relationship. There were not too much to do. And now, you know, with this pandemic, you know, there are so many parents that are struggling because now they also became homeschool parents all of a sudden, which was not in their plan, and maybe working from home and this and that. So there's so many different things. And, but you may think, well, this is the reason. Well, yes, it's a trigger though. It's
trigger,
not because
it.
Not everybody is stressed with the situation, right?
That's
I mean,
right.
It's still a challenge for everybody because it's something that's been new for everybody. But on the other hand, some people are just kind of navigating this with much more ease than others. And then it's like, so it's not necessarily the situation, is how you, what you make about it, and not just about the situation, but about yourself and the process.
Right.
So, yes.
Well, you know, I love your approach. I mean, it made me realize, even myself and with all my studies and all, that we have to actually look at the trigger mechanisms are the things that really have to be explored, which are at the bottom of the stress. But once again, we take it another level and say, well, why are these trigger mechanisms? So, you know, in psychology, there are so many levels and ways of getting down further and deeper, depending upon the person, how far the person wants to go and how far the counselor wants to go. But you have a very insightful approach, to helping people, you know, with what they need to learn about themselves. Got to get there and know about all these 432 emotional reactions every day. That blew my mind. But anyway, you know, I wanted to also, now do you have, now tell people how they can get in touch with you, Pamela.
Yeah, so the easiest way is, and you mentioned that earlier when you mentioned my website. So the easiest ways to go to my website, which is PamelaBieskaLosada.com. And I also have a free webinar there that can be, you know, accessed to on my website, which is about how to eliminate overwhelm. And there is also a way if somebody is interested in booking a complimentary consultation over the phone, there is a link to do that. So on my website, I'm also on social media on LinkedIn, Facebook, and Instagram as well. I know some people are very engage in social media. So that would be another ways to follow me and also check out those resources I'm posting every week.
I just signed up there. Thank you for accepting me. I hope.
I haven't seen it yet, but I will definitely see it at some point later today for sure when I check my okay. social media messages.
Yeah, I like that. I like what you're doing there, and I'm going to visit you often. And do you want to leave an email address or just go to your website? Is probably the easiest way. And get everything
yes,
there.
It's the easiest way. Exactly. Yes.
Okay. Let me spell it again. PamelaBiascalocada.com. Pamela. It's Pamela. Say your name for me.
Yes, it's Pamela Biascalosada. So it's the last part is LOSADI.
Yeah, it's great. It's a beautiful name. Okay. Well, that was great. You know, I really enjoyed it. We should really, now that we have this system here, I'm going to see how it sounds. Hopefully everything went well. And I'm so glad to be able to speak with you today. We are at, on our 30 minutes here. And next time I want to go ahead and do another with you. I'd like to do a series on this because you have so much to say. And it's very fascinating and your approach is very profound. And I applaud you on that. And I would suggest that any listeners here, please get in contact with Pamela if you need any kind. We all need help, especially in today's environment, you know, to be better than we are and to have more joy in life. As you say here, you expand the joy and you get breakthroughs with people for more clarity and able to get to the root of what is troubling them. So I applaud you on that. I thank you so much for joining us today and God bless and have a wonderful evening. And we look forward for you coming on again to Radio Time Productions.
Thank you so much, Valerie. It was a pleasure being here and talking to you tonight. Thank you.
Same here, Pamela. Talk to you soon. Thank you so much.
Bye.
Bye.
Being here and talking to you tonight.